Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. 'Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hello and welcome to the Dublin Arsenal Review Show. I'm your host, Jonathan Giles. On the show tonight, Monday, December the 4th, my guests, Eamon Donnelly and Chelsea fan Gary Hearn, analyse our 1-1 draw at the Bridge in what was a feisty London derby clash between the two first rivals. And remember, the Dublin Arsenal Sports Club Xmas Party will be on this Saturday, December the 6th in the River Bar. Come join us for a cracking day of fun and laughs and some top raffle prizes as well. So sit back and enjoy the show. First of all, as always, I'm joined by my regular guest. Who are you tonight, Eamon Donnelly?
Evening, Jonathan. Evening, Gary. I opened the front door there and I was hit by a tin of beans and a packet of fish fingers. And then I opened the press there and a bag of spaghetti and a pack of rice flew out of me. I literally don't know where my next meal's coming from. All right, I'm
great to have you on board, Eamon. I'm also joined by Gary Ahern, who was with us on Friday for the preview show. Can you go one better than that, Gary?
Oh, fingers crossed. That was a great match, great match. I did say 1-1. Just saying, I did say 1-1.
I was listening back to it yesterday. Yeah,
I was going to say to you, Gary, as somebody who wasn't involved in that show, because I was at a Christmas party on Friday when it was recorded. I did listen, and you did say 1-1, you know.
Yeah.
It was a good show, Gary. Yeah. It was known to be a tight game. I think we all said that in the previous show and what a cracker it was yesterday. Very feisty affair. It's great to have you along, Gary, for the show as well. To share the Chelsea side of things. Before we start, of course, it was George Graham, Spirit of yesterday, 81, Eamon. What a man.
Yeah, well, he played for Chelsea and Arsenal, you know. So we signed him from Chelsea. He started with Aston Villa and then he went to Chelsea, and we signed him in 1966 from Chelsea, and of course he was part of the double winning team in 71, left us in 72 and came back to manage us in 1986, and we won two leagues, a league cup, a cup winners cup, you know, under George. And big George Arsenal, that's all you need to say about him. You know?
Did you see him many times in the flesh, Eamon?
As a player, no. He was gone. He was gone in 72. He was sitting behind me in one of the FA Cup finals.
Right.
I did actually get to chat to him, you know. And forget all this TV professionalism. He was totally biased in our favour, you know.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He brought one into the Arsenal. Do you remember him, Gary, in the Chelsea shirts?
Older. I can't say I ever saw him play, but
you don't look as old as Eamon, so you're all right, Gary.
Well, no, what I will say to Jonathan and Gary is that George Graham was known. The players called him Gaddafi. when he was a manager, that was his nickname, right? He was a very, very hard taskmaster.
Yeah.
But as a player, he was completely the opposite. He strolled around the pitch, looked as if he had no work in him at all. But he was very, very skillful, and he was like in the air. He was a bit like Mikel Merino in the air. Really, really, really. His timing was brilliant. You know,
what a manager for the Gunners as well. Yeah. Also, a bit of sad news as well. Billy Bonds passed away yesterday. 1946 to 2025. Made 799 appearances during a 21-year playing career at West Ham. Became Hammers manager in 1990 and led the club to two promotions. Passed away peacefully at 79 on Sunday morning. Eamon, do you remember Billy Barnes briefly?
I do. I remember Billy Bonds. Billy Bonds played against us in the 1980 Cup Final when West Ham, who were a lower division team at the time, beat us. But the one thing I want to mark out for Billy Bonds, West Ham in 71, 72, 73, when I started watching football, had a lad called Clyde Best. He was from Bermuda, right? And it was unusual to have black players playing at the time. And even the West Ham fans will admit that back then, it was a difficult welcome. But Billy Bonds, if you ever look back at clips and footage of West Ham at that time, anytime Clyde Best scores a goal, Billy Bonds makes a point of grabbing him and showing him off to the fans and kind of trying to integrate. He's way ahead of his time that way, and very difficult times back then, with fans, racist abuse and stuff. Billy Bonds did his piece well ahead of the time, and hats off to him, you know.
Would you like to say a piece on Billy Bonds yourself, Gary?
Unfortunately, like I was born in 74,
You're
so
escaping all this now,
yeah,
Gary.
like I've it has passed me by, but like it's always a terrible loss.
I think what Gary's trying to say, Jonathan, is that there was no life before Roman Abramovich.
That is 100% correct.
That's beautifully put, Eamon. What a line. He's only a trophy grabber there, Gertie, but you saw the good times and he give you that, Gertie, under Rowan, yeah. I don't know if you saw the Graham Norton show Friday night, lads. Miriam Margolyes, 84, sported the Arsenal scarf on it, and she's a diehard gooner. So that was nice to see. I knew when I saw the red and white, she's a gooner. To yesterday's game, of course, 1-1 between Chelsea and Arsenal. Chalobah got the goal for Chelsea and Mikel Merino for ourselves. Moses Caicedo was the seventh Chelsea player to be sent off against Arsenal in the Prem and the fourth since David Luiz in 2017. The Blues have only lost two of those seven games, 1-1, drawn four. It was a match full of tackles and cards, to say the least. Arsenal had six yellow cards in that game. The Arsenal lineup was David Raya in goal. At the back, Jurrien Timber, Christian Mosquera, Piero Ncapie, Riccardo Cagliafiore. In midfield, Martin Zubimendi, Declan Rice, Eberechi Eze. And up front, Gabriel Martinelli, Mikel Merino and Bukayo Saka. Off the bench for us came Miles Yuskelly, Nani Madueke, Martin Odegaard, which was great to see back, and Victor Gyökeres. To yourself, Eamon, what did you make with Noah Williams Saliba and Gabriel as a defensive partnership? How do you feel Christian Mosquera and Piero Hincapié got on yesterday? I thought they were thought they done quite well, didn't they?
They did all right. But I mean, I don't think you can answer that question in isolation, Jonathan, without looking at the context of the game, and maybe I'd like to hear Gary's take on the game before I go off and give a big list. But just on that question, I think what was really important was, and Anthony Taylor is a referee that I actually rate as one of the better ones,
Yeah, you do,
because
Eamon, yeah.
because it's not all about him. He doesn't make it all about him, right? But yesterday, I thought he made a balls of it, and I thought it contributed to a whole pile of things to happen in the game. So first, I just want to cover that point first, and then maybe Gary can give us his take. By the way, I say this in the absolute sense that Chelsea absolutely deserves something from the game, right? But Taylor's problem was Cucurella went to clatter through the back of Saka, and he did nothing, right? So he. Taylor should have been all over Cucurella. It was only 2 minutes in, right? And said, right, that's your only one, right? So Cucurella, I think he got booked on the third or fourth challenge. But in the meantime, because the game had got a bit spiky and he didn't get on top of it in the first challenge, right, people thought they could take liberties. So if you look at what Zubimendi was booked for and you compare it to what Cucurella wasn't booked for, it's beyond belief, right? And it's not as if he broke up an attack, he sidestepped, it was an obstruction. And then you see, we got an early booking for Mosquera. And this is why I'm making this point, an early booking for Cagliafiore, right? Which was deserved, by the way. But because we had three defenders on yellow cards, it changed a lot of things in the game. I think it changed what Declan Rice did for a start, because Declan Rice ended up playing almost like a protector of the back four because they were on yellow cards, even when we had 10 players. So, to my mind, Mosquera's game was hampered by the fact that he picked up a soft yellow early on, and he was literally afraid to go into contact. So when you're a defender and you're trying to defend without having any contact, it can be difficult, and you're on a bit of a knife edge. But that being said, I certainly like Hinsapie's attitude, and at least they didn't leave a big width of a gap between the two. They were tight enough. A little bit nervous, but if you said to me before the game, we were going to go to the home of the World Club Championships as champions, as they keep telling everybody, and we're going to go without two of the best central defenders in the world, and we're going to come out with a draw, I'd have been happy enough.
Without Gabriel and Saliba, how vital they are as centre back pairings, when you don't have them two in yesterday, we would have said, "Oh, geez, we're in
But
for
the
one
two
here."
lads
But
did well. It was only their first game together, you know?
I like the fireiness of Pierre Encapier. He's really fiery and a really good centre back. He likes that type of physical side to the game as well, I noticed. To yourself, Gary, Chelsea started off aggressive and physical. From the start, and you could see that they wanted to upset, our play. I thought Reece James done really well for yous. I'd like to go straight for your opinion first, Gary, on 34 minutes. That horrendous tackle is all I can say from Moises Caicedo on Mikel Merino. What was your opinion on that one, Gary? Deserve a red card?
100% it deserved the red card. Again, I do understand that same challenge in the Spurs game on Reece James, exactly the same, was a yellow card. But like the speed that Moses was, Caicedo was coming straight at him, there was no ifs, and it was right in front of the ref as well. There was no way it was going to be missed. And it was deserved. Unfortunately for us, it was deserved. It was such a snippy, snipey game that, like, everybody was like, Chelsea had the game plan to go out there and obviously disrupt Arsenal as much as physically possible. And that's what we went out to do. And I agree, there should have been a yellow card at the beginning to try and calm the situation down. And because that didn't happen, it just escalated and escalated and escalated. And even after Caicedo was sent off, it continued on. It didn't stop.
Yeah, that guy, it was the guy, the Argentinian lad in the middle of the pitch, Gary.
Enzo
Enzo, what's his name?
Fernandez.
Enzo
The lad that
Fernandez.
was offside.
Enzo Fernandez was going around the whole game, spitting bile at everybody, including the referee. What was his problem? I don't know. I thought Chelsea were quite spiteful yesterday, and we can be spiteful too. It shouldn't have rattled us, but when you go with an understrength central defence, and it's much easier to get rattled, right? Because you've two rookies in there, and also I have to say this, and it gives me no pleasure saying this, and I've mentioned it a few times, that game was no place for Eberechi Eze. He can't
No.
function. He can't function in a game like that.
No,
He doesn't
no.
have the physicality. He got hounded off the ball. He's gonna have to learn pretty quickly who he's playing for. It's one thing getting a hat trick in the North London Derby, and a great hat trick and all it was, when we dominated the opposition. But yesterday, for the first half hour, we weren't dominating the opposition. He got hunted off the ball. He was careless on the ball. He can't do that.
Yeah.
So effectively, we were playing with 10 for the first half hour because he was a complete passenger. Nothing other than a passenger, right? I was Ken Barlow job yesterday. Well, he was driving me mad, as of yesterday. I think, to be honest with you, I think Chelsea had the first 25 minutes of the game, and I think it was a boxing match. They'd have been well ahead on points, and they missed a real chance with Estevao, But I just thought, coming up to the Caicedo sending off, we were just beginning to get a foothold in the game. Not to dominate it, but I think we just kind of weathered what Chelsea had thrown us, and we were just knitting a few passes together. And then the Caicedo sending off changed everything.
We've seen over the years, Eamon, we've been on the end of bad tackles. Martin Taylor and Eduardo and Shawcross and Ramsey. How lucky was Mourinho not to have his ankle broken there? That
Well,
was a shocking tackle, wasn't it?
he's lucky that he anticipated it.
Yeah,
Because
he's.
he got his weight off the ground.
Yeah,
When he had
very.
to get his
Yeah.
weight off the ground, his ankle was broken.
Yeah. It was even quite remarkable how he even carried on. You know, he shook it off quite well, Mourinho, and he just carried on with the
Well,
match, which
Gary's
is.
right. Bentancur's one against Chelsea a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Was the
That was a
same tackle,
shocker,
but
wasn't it? Yeah, shocker.
Caicedo has form on this when he was Brighton as well. He
Yeah.
has form. In the old days, somebody would have put one on him. But the game is like that now. But I can't understand that you can actually grievously do GBH to somebody in the Premier League. But then they've all these sort of stupid rules that if somebody other than the captain talks back to the referee, sweet Jesus, I
Yeah, we
mean,
saw what happened to Patterson yesterday.
last year that was throwing the ball away or kicking the ball away, and
Yeah.
fellas were getting sent off. But you can do any kind of GBH. There was too much let go yesterday. I actually thought it was a terrible game. I
It was
thought
very
it was like
stop start,
terrible.
wasn't it? Yeah, it was.
Terrible.
It
It
was,
was a
yeah.
shocking game,
Dirty Robert Sanchez, he had a decent enough game for his yesterday. We were kind of feared in the worst in the previous show with the ball at his feet, but he made two great saves late on in both halves. One from Gabriel Martinelli, who he got a good strong right hand to, and in the second half late on from Mikel Merino, he got a strong left hand and then got back up well to pounce on the ball before Gyökeres got there. What did you make of Robert Sanchez's game yesterday for yourselves?
Shot stopping Sanchez is a great keeper. It's
Yeah.
just as soon as the ball is at his feet. And again, there were a couple of stages yesterday that when he had the ball at his feet, it did get worrying. And there was a couple of passes that he did send out that obviously went straight to one of your players. There was a couple of times that he did that. But like as soon as he had his hands on the ball there at all times, it seemed. So at least there was that.
Yeah.
But he was kept very busy in comparison to Raya. He was kept very busy,
Yeah, they were two excellent saves he made from Martinelli and Moreno. Yeah, two vital ones at that. I thought Reece James had a decent enough game. I know he was highlighted a lot on match day two by Michael Richards. What did you make of your goal from the corner kick 3 minutes into the second half? It was a good start for you, wasn't it? Great, good header from Chalobah, in fairness. He got away from Declan Rice quite well, didn't he?
It was a great header, and it was like a great goal. But like they've shown that Fernandes was offside as well now during that actually happened. And so realistically, I mean, like it should have been a disallowed goal, but it wasn't. And I mean, you never know what's going to happen one day for the next with the way that it's reffed. And again, the way that the game was going in the very beginning, with the cards flying and the game stop starting all the time, that we managed to push all of that way up and actually get that first goal in there, which again gave us a great bit of confidence. But the game continued to be that just complete and utter stop start, which is why like we had to bring Estevao off as well, because he couldn't get that play that he wanted, because it was just, I think everybody in the dressing room was told by Maresca just to slow the match down as much as physically
Possible,
possible,
yeah.
and that was their game plan, and they did the job.
Well, Gary, it's interesting to hear you speak about that goal, because I thought I was in a minority group of one, because I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, well, he's offside, and ordinarily that wouldn't matter, but he stopped Mascara from jumping. I'm thinking, am I just looking at it through Arsenal tinted glasses? And then I didn't realise that. A view has emerged that it should have been chalked off. But then again, if that's the case, what in the name of God are VAR doing? They spent 6 minutes on a semi-automated system trying to decide whether somebody's offside or not. And the computer's doing the work for them. And yet they can't spot that somebody's clearly offside and stopping the defender from jumping. But what I will say about that is, this is where you see Mosquera's good, and I'm really pleased with him. But do you think Saliba would have got himself penned onto the line the way he did? I
No,
don't think so. I think
no,
Saliba
no.
would have got. Wait, I think he would have cleared out Fernandes. I think he'd have cleared him out. I've been in a position to deal with the thing. But Mosquera's an experience, you know.
Pedro kind
Yeah.
of earmarked him from the start, Eamon, didn't he? If that was William Saliba, he wouldn't have kind of, bully him as much. You could see Pedro went straight out, didn't he, yesterday to upset the two centre-backs.
Pedro's a really good player, but he's a clown.
Yeah,
He's an absolute
he
clown.
has that side of his game,
He's
doesn't
a
he?
clown. I mean,
Yeah.
he all of his play acting and histrionics, he's an absolute clown, but he's a bloody good player. And as for Caicedo rolling around, he ought to be ashamed of himself. He ought to be ashamed of himself, rolling around, feigning injury when he's trying to break somebody's leg.
Yeah.
You know, he'll get a
I
warm welcome now at the Emirates. He will,
yeah.
yeah.
It was a shocker of a tackle now. He is a very
But this business of rolling around feigning injury to make it look as if it was an accident, I don't mind. I don't mind a fella going in hard, and I'm not moaning about the physicality of the game. In fact, it was the intent in that tackle. It was a straight leg.
Yeah.
Like if his leg is slightly bent, it doesn't have that force. It's a straight leg, you know.
Yeah, for it to take 4 odd minutes to come to that decision when Taylor was nearly right in front of it was a bit of a joke. But the right conclusion, thank God, was made. Well, to yourself,
But
Gary,
I
on
don't want
that.
to take. I don't want to sound as if I'm kind of sour. Chelsea were very good. Chelsea are a very good team, by the way.
Yeah.
Chelsea are a really, really good team. I think what might undo them in the end is they started the season very early with that World Club Cup. I think they might just run out of oxygen in February, March. That you know they've been at they played without a break.
Yeah.
You know, but they're a very, very good team. And I didn't look. I mean, obviously. When you play a game with 10 players, against 10 players rather, you expect to win it. We didn't, but we didn't play well. We weren't at it. We'd had two highly charged games. Chelsea got an easier ride. I know they played Barcelona, but they played them a day beforehand and they played against 10 players, right? We put a lot into beating Munich and Tottenham just before that. And I just think we didn't play well. We weren't at it. And I always say, if you're not at it, if you can avoid losing the game, particularly against a title rival, and they are a title rival, that's what they told us yesterday anyway. But I think they are. Actually, I singled them out at the start of the season in my preview as a big good outside shout to do damage, you know.
Yes, I was saying this to yourself, Gertie, as well, on the previous show on Friday. It's starting to come together now, signing young players, tying them to long-term contracts. And Enzo Maresca's starting to know his starting 11 early now, isn't he? He's
Yeah.
kind of settled on it. And that was even without Cole Palmer yesterday, so that's promising signs there.
Just on the Reece James thing, Jonathan. You see, I think Reece James is a very good player, right? But he's a fullback. How he was allowed to dominate that midfield yesterday, and again, I don't want to be down on Eze. They had an overload in there because Eze was a passenger.
What do you think,
He's
Eamon?
not.
Sorry for cutting across you. Do you think Eze was overwhelmed by the fixture
No,
yesterday, or
I
do you
just
think
don't
he
think
was
he can
just...
handle physicality like that.
Yeah.
I think Crystal Palace indulged him and allowed him. You see, this is what separates. Eze has a brilliant skill set. He's a brilliant player, great skill set. But this is what separates, say, Eze from Dennis Bergkamp. Right? Dennis Bergkamp had a brilliant skill set, but he also had pointy elbows. And he also knew how to look after himself. Right? I don't
Yeah.
think Eze has that. I think he got physicked out of it yesterday, whereas Odegaard didn't. You know, I thought we looked much better and much healthier with Odegaard on the pitch yesterday, and it was him that made things happen down that side where we got our equaliser from. You know, listen, this is not me down on Eze. He was the hero last week, and I don't like this. I don't want to fall into this traditional Arsenal thing, Gary. We always pick a player and give them stick that's been going on for about 60 years. You know, and I am not that person, but Eze needs to understand the level he's playing at now and what's going to happen. I just hope Chelsea, and I said this to you and Walker earlier, Gary, I hope Chelsea are as physical now when they come up against the Man Cities of this world. You know.
Yeah, I think I think we will be. I know we're going to be like we've got a bit of a better month coming up match wise, like next game Leeds and so on and so forth. But so we're only losing Caicedo for the next three matches. But like I think that now we've got to start in 11 and who we like to pick. I think that they are all very much of that now, determined that we have something to prove. We're up here in second, third, fourth place for a reason. You know, we are doing the job out there. Admittedly, it like that is the scrappiest match I've seen from them this season. And yeah, I do hope that they bring that for the Liverpools and the Uniteds and the Cities and that same intensity to actually keep pushing forward to keep up the top of the table. We are the Club World Cup champions. Just
No, we know this. Yeah, no. Look at that. That shouldn't be underestimated. I mean, if you want to get on that road, I can tell you. You also ruined the fabric of football by bringing in a war criminal to generate dirty money into the game, and that gave you an advantage on everybody else. If we want to go down that road, we can. So when you start saying we won it all, we won it all. You won it all because you spent it all, and that's grand. But in terms of no, Gary and I both had discussions about Chelsea and their policy of buying every player that moved above grass. But they have a good squad now, right? And I think the circus is over. It was a bit of a circus there for a couple of years. The Mudryk thing was a
Yeah, it
circus,
was a circus.
all of that type of stuff.
Still being a circus.
Aren't Arsenal
But I
glad they
don't think
didn't
it's a
go in for him
circus
at the
now. I think
time?
there's a squad there that's there for the next 2 or 3 years.
A young
And
squad,
Maresca's
eh?
going to come under a bit of pressure now to deliver, you know?
Yeah, this is it.
We came back, Eamon, of course, through the equaliser from Mikel Merino. Great work on the flank by Bukayo Saka to send the cross in, and a super header from Mikel Merino. Old Alan Smutters-Mill would have been happy with that header. What was your take on Mikel Merino's performance yesterday, Eamon? He's done quite
I thought
well.
he was terrific.
Yeah.
I thought he was terrific. And he gave the ball away a couple of times in the first half. But what he was trying to do was get us walking through channels that weren't there, because Chelsea were exceptionally good at closing off space yesterday.
Yeah,
You know, Gary, I don't mean to be down. I mean, there's a bit of banter allowed on this show, but Chelsea were excellent yesterday, right? But what I'm saying is that Marino was the one who was trying to play. Zubimendi was off his game, and that didn't help. But I think Zubimendi was off his game yesterday because he went into the notebook after 5 minutes. And when you're in the middle of the pitch in a kind of a snake pit of a game, that's not a good place to be in, you know? But Tom Marino did really well in terms of trying to generate. But I thought his interview was really interesting after the game, you know? He was basically saying, we didn't play well. Sometimes it doesn't work out for you. Sometimes you've got to do other things. We'll take it and we'll move on. But technically, for the goal, they asked him about his goal scoring. He said, well, I work very hard at it. He said, if the ball is going to come in the air, I try and arrive and meet the ball when it's at its highest point. And if you look back at the headed goals that he's got, the one against Newcastle in particular, he's headed the ball when the ball is at its highest point, which means that if you're the goalkeeper anticipating that, it's very, very difficult, you know, because
It was the way he directed the ball well away
you're
from
nearly
Sanchez.
expecting him to hit it earlier, and you've made your move, and then all of a sudden his big giraffe neck comes up, and you know, it was a great finish. He described himself as a tap in. Don't underestimate the quality. The cross is unbelievable. Because like if you look at the goal again, that didn't come because it was 11v10, right? If you look at the goal again, we didn't have an overload. When Saka receives the ball, there's actually nine Chelsea players in the box and seven of ours in the frame if you look at it. So they were covered, but the quality of the ball just takes about two players out, you know?
Yeah, it was a superb delivery, wasn't it, from Saka? Yeah, and that's what he can do when he's menacing like that on his day and when he's on form. Yeah, we two great chances, Eamon, as I said to Gary, that Robert Sanchez made two great one-handed saves, Martinelli and Moreno. The second one from Moreno, where he spilled it out, Sanchez, and when Gyökeres was running in, I thought the yellow card was a bit harsh. What else could Gyökeres do when he was just trying to get the ball? It wasn't malicious, was it, Eamon?
No, it wasn't at all malicious. He was entitled to go for it.
Yeah.
But look, if you're going to give Zubimendi, I think Miles Lewis-Skelly got a yellow card for
He
doing
did.
exactly what Caicedo did to Saka on the touchline. He actually shouldered somebody in the back.
Yeah.
And Caicedo didn't even get a free kick against him. So I just thought it wasn't Anthony Taylor's best day. I don't like going down too hard on him because I think he's one of the refs who genuinely tries to make it about the players and not
Yeah.
himself. Doesn't get everything right. But to be honest with you, yesterday he just made it. He made a complete stew of it, you know.
Yeah.
It was one of those games, in fairness, though, Gertie, as well, about Anthony Taylor. 101 things were going on at the same time, wasn't it? It was just one of those fiery contests where it's very hard to get a hold of, but there was a lot of yellow cards given out, kind of, you could say, needlessly, wasn't there? He could have done a better job, couldn't he, Gertie?
100%. Like it seemed like the first 20 minutes that he might as well have just been holding on to the yellow card in his hands, really,
Yeah.
because he didn't need to put it back in his pocket. He was going for absolutely everybody and anybody, and through and not giving cards for people that deserved cards, giving cards for people who didn't deserve cards. And like, I didn't understand what. You know, he has a whole team of people around him. There's people who are video refereeing it. There's people who are on the touchlines there who can see everything that's going on. And I just I worried about yesterday's game because it was just
I
too.
often wonder about that, Gary, because you'd wonder, you see, we assume that these people are giving them good information. But for all we know, the fellow on the sideline could be saying, "Are we going out clubbing tonight? You know, we'll have a few, you know, we'll have a few buzz balls." Do you know what I mean? Like you wouldn't know. I don't know what kind of information goes on, but to my mind, we could learn something from rugby, because if you ever watch a rugby game that starts off very, very touchy, the referee then can say, "Well, I can actually give out 7 yellow cards each here," but he calls the two captains together and he says, "Now listen, a lot of this is nonsense. Go and have a word with your players. I am going to start dishing out cards left, right, and centre. So I'm just going to say, go and have a word with them. That's not the way we're going to play this game, right?" And you've told everybody, you've laid down your marker. I think that would have calmed it down, you know? Yeah, what? Yeah, he
100%.
kind of lost the plot, really, Anthony Taylor. But he's a decent enough ref, Anthony Taylor. I like him. Your standout players for yourself, Gertie, from Chelsea yesterday. Who stood out for you there?
Cucurella, just because like the Saka thing, he was with him pretty much most of the time. But Reece James played really well.
He did, yeah, he did.
Like, as far as I'm concerned, he was the best player for the on Chelsea pitch. And don't get me wrong, like Trevor played. The problem was he was the only one that just kept on his feet. Everybody else was down on the ground at some stage. You know, oh look, he's touched my back a little bit, down on the ground. Oh, he's run past me, down on the ground. It was
Yeah.
just it was too much. It was too like he was just constantly on his feet. Even when there was a foul made to him, he just continued up. And like there was a couple of shouts there because it was so touchy, but more so than anyone, Reece James for me was the player of for Chelsea. Literally kept it all together.
Eamon, it was a scrappy affair to say the least, but standout players for the Gunners yesterday for yourself.
Well, I thought the two players who were at it in a way that others weren't were Declan Rice, but I think he was affected by the fact that they didn't have Saliba and Gabriel behind him, and he ended up playing a lot deeper. He also ended up playing at the spine of the team because Zubimendi had been substituted. So you've got to take all that into consideration. And I think it hampered him going forward. But I thought our best player, Mikel Merino was at it as well, but I thought our best player yesterday was, and it's a few times I've said his name, Jurrien Timber.
Yeah, you were very yeah. You've been really impressed with him this season, Eamon, haven't you?
He's
He
outstanding.
links up with the play really well, doesn't he? And his
He's
vision, the
outstanding.
passes, yeah, and his physicality, yeah. And he was unlucky. We had a great chance at the end where Nkapia crossed the ball in, and Timber just got in the way of Gyökeres.
I'd love to hear that mic'd up, Jonathan. And I want to know. No, I want to
You
know
think he got a
that
shout?
Gyökeres. I want to know that Gyökeres give him a shout.
Yeah, I don't think he'd.
Because
Looking
if
at the
Gyökeres
replay.
gives him a shout, Gyökeres will score. But I don't think he shouted.
No, you know by kind of the body language, don't you? Yeah, it's,
Yeah.
I know Gyökeres turns away in frustration, but I don't think Timber did get a shout. You know, I don't think he would have went for it. We were actually just saying that actually in the pub last night as well.
Pity
When
it wasn't Mikel Merino in that position.
yeah. Actually, the reception Nani Madueke got from the Chelsea fans, Gary, Cole Palmer made a face at them. There was a picture in the paper there
Yeah,
this
but they're
morning.
classless, Jonathan.
Yeah.
They're classless.
You're taking that,
CSKA
Gary?
in Fulham. That's what they do all the time. You know, no surprises there. Gary, you know, like you're perfectly free to defend yourself,
Yeah.
but I wouldn't
No,
expect
it's
anything
what they
else from
do.
them classless dopes, you know?
But they did it. They like as soon as like there was Enzo and Cucurella that when Madueke went down, they were both around him doing that, arms in the air and giving it a shout and all of that. Just get on with the match. Just like get on with the match. I get he's an ex-Chelsea player, and
Gary, you
like,
rejected him. Like
yeah, we did. We
the
did.
only time Arsenal fans ever get bored to their ex players is when they do an Nasri or a Van Persie on you, and they string you along, and then they tell you they love the club, and then all of a sudden they're gone like a hot shite, right? But any player that comes back to us gets a warm reception. Emil Smith Rowe, Chelsea rejected Madueke.
Yep.
Yeah.
We didn't come in and poach him, right? So I thought the reception that he got yesterday from those supporters was absolutely mindless, right? Just do nothing at all. But they went out of his way. Oh my God. But it doesn't surprise me, you know,
No, it
just.
matched the intensity of the match, to be honest with you. It matched what the way that Chelsea were playing, the way that they were going around it, like. They wanted to be the bully boys on the pitch. Admittedly, you know, you got Estevao, which is like 5 foot 2 and
Well, he's
weighs
got
half
Madueke
ton.
will do at the Emirates Stadium. I'm going to make a prediction. Madueke will do what Kai Havertz did when Chelsea came to the Emirates Stadium, and he will put one in the back of the net. And there'll be none of this. I'm not celebrating against my old club because
That's
you've set the stall out for that now, guys.
no. I'll be waiting for it.
It's a result yesterday, the 1-1 draw, which leaves the Premier League table standing like this. The top four. This is Arsenal top with 30 points. 13 played. City second with 13 played with 25. Chelsea in third, 13 played with 24. And Aston Villa, who we'll face on Saturday, 13 played with 24. They've really cropped up the table since a poor start of the season. Next up for Chelsea's Leeds on Wednesday night, and next up for ourselves is Brentford on Wednesday night as well. Pretty quickly, Eamon, player of the month for November for the Gunners.
Jesus, I didn't think you were going to ask that one.
Very quickly,
No, but
Eamon. Pretty
I'm
quickly.
actually going to say Bukayo Saka because he's influenced everything.
And your
Right?
goal of the month, Eamon, that you can remember.
Oh, good Lord! Goal of the month. Oh dear, oh
I'm going to
dear.
go with Eberechi
Oh no!
Eze.
Do you know what? Martinelli against Bayern Munich because of the
Yeah.
Eze pass and the celebration before he'd even taken a round Neuer. I'm going for that. Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Right, when you put him in on the spot, that's what you get. I'd like to thank my guest, Gary Ahern, for coming on up the Blues for the rest of the season, and also to Eamon Donnelly.
Danny Hearn, top man, always a top man.
And he's
Yeah,
more than
pleasure,
welcome on
pleasure.
to our next show. Catch our show on Spotify and the Dublin Arsenal YouTube channel. And also remember, the Dublin Arsenal Supporters Club Christmas party is this coming Saturday, December the 6th. So until our next show, thanks for listening, and come on, you Gunners.